You didn't even read it?
I just can't think that... Yeah, like, made the little judgment of, like, that I couldn't think that there would be anything that I would object to.
Okay, well, since you're new to Los Angeles, I appreciate that you read and signed, or signed the release without reading it, but you should never do that again.
Okay.
My advice to you, as a person, you're new to L.A., you just got here. No, you don't have to read. You just signed it. It's too late. You signed mine, and now you can't read it. But, yeah, don't do that again.
Okay, right.
If you have a manager, if you have an agent, they're going to tell you, don't do that.
Yeah.
Free advice.
Thank you.
Oh, and how do you want me to introduce you? Juanita Butler? Wani Be Good?
What
do you?
Wani Be Good is good.
All right.
Yeah.
That's what I wrote down. But
awesome.
It's good to check.
Yeah, yeah.
I hate
that's
getting,
all my social media and everything.
I hate
so.
Getting guests' names wrong.
Thank you.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I hate just getting people's names wrong. So your name is Denzel?
Denzel.
Denzel.
Like the vegetable.
Right, like the vegetable. Denzel, of course.
It's easy. Hello, everybody.
What is the vegetable? Sorry.
What?
What's the vegetable, Denzel?
There is no vegetable named Denzel. I just say that as a joke.
Oh, okay.
Because?
Denzel Washington.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Can I start the show now?
Yes.
Any more questions?
Probably. Just
okay.
Go ahead.
We'll get to them all.
All right.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Comedy Death Star. Right? That's the right show? You're in the right place.
Yeah.
Okay. The podcast that digs into the dark side of comedy. I'm your host, Denzel Myers. Our guest this week is writer, director, producer, and more, Wani Be Good. In the next hour, we'll dig into all the things that make Wani Wani and beyond. I just wanted to say that, make Wani Wani. I don't know. I thought that was funny. But first, a message from our corporate overlords. Comedy Death Star is a production of Actors Comedy Studio and ACSDigital.tv. I'm Denzel Myers. Our guest today is total newbie to Los Angeles with stars in her eyes and broccoli in her teeth. Wani Be Good.
Do I really have broccoli in my teeth?
No, that was another joke.
Okay.
Stars in your eyes, broccoli in your teeth. It's kind of a high-low thing.
Okay.
You've heard of that.
I've never heard of stars in your eyes, broccoli in your teeth, but that's fine. I was just eating a salad, so I kind of
I just made that up.
Wow. Telepathic.
That's what happens here. So, hi, welcome.
Thank you.
You're so new to LA that you're not actually here yet.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm kind of in between.
Yeah.
But
you just moved.
Yeah.
From Austin, Texas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you're here. What, so, yeah, what's happening?
Well, I love it. I, you know, I'm totally maybe worried, and there's a lot of nervousness, I think, involved with moving. I don't know if you remember experiencing that when you came here. I mean, you're kind of like still in California, so it's not quite.
So what are you nervous? What are you nervous about moving to Los Angeles?
I think just there's a lot of nervousness about pursuing goals that are, you know, perceived as difficult, just in general.
I mean, as a director, writer, actor.
Yeah, and yeah. It's hard enough just being creative, I think, just putting yourself out there and showing parts of yourself and showing, you know, even more, it's just like, this is what I made, and do you like it? Do you like me, maybe? So that's very difficult.
Well, I'm just going to say you're in big trouble, because if you are sensitive or already, you're just arriving,
yeah.
You're going to have to get tougher, a lot tougher.
I know. I need to
right
toughen
away.
Up.
No, seriously, it's a horrible business and a terrible place to nurture your sensitive dream as an artistic and creative person. And so, you know, I think you should know that before you even get here.
Okay.
That's just a given, in my opinion.
So do you, is that not the kind of artist that you see yourself as? Is like sensitive?
Well, I think that everybody is, but this is a town that runs on, this is a business town.
Right.
So you can be all those things you want to be, but you could have been, you were all those things in Austin.
Right.
You could have stayed in Austin and been all that sensitive stuff.
Right. I'm
yeah.
hoping that I can continue to be somewhat
right.
sensitive. I feel like that. Well, maybe not. I don't know. I've you know, I think that there's, like, some connection to, you know, experiencing the world in that sensitive way, and having the desire to create things.
Okay.
But maybe not. I look forward to becoming a hard ass. I mean, every year I become more of a hard ass, so.
I'm just testing, like, because you're brand new. And
yeah.
I'm just, like, pressure testing.
You're worried.
You know, and I'm just throwing you kind of softball harassment questions, and you're going to cry. You're close. I can tell.
Yeah, it's going to happen.
All right, we're going to talk to you in a year.
I am a crier, so.
We're going to talk to you in a year and see if you're, A, still here.
Right.
And B, how you're feeling about the thing.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, I look forward to it.
All right. Well, I have some more bad news for you. I'm just, there's a question.
Okay.
So, not that this is, it's not a job interview, so I can ask you, you're single?
Yeah.
You're straight?
Yeah.
And you just got finished having adult braces, but it looks like you have them off now.
Uh-huh.
Okay. If you think guys in Texas are assholes, I mean, I don't think things are going to get better here in Hollywood.
Okay.
There's more bad news. I'm just breaking all the bad news to you first, because you're new. And I figure you should
the
get
guys
it all.
Guys are jerks.
Yeah.
Denzel, why did you bring me here just to bum me out?
this is not the bumming out, but this is the practical realities. Are guys in Texas kind of assholes? Did you find that guys in Texas were hard to deal with?
You know, like everything, it depends on the person. I don't think that you can fully generalize, but I do think that there is an issue that the bar is set very low for men.
In Texas.
To just, like, not just in Texas, I think everywhere. Okay. Just, like, you know, like, if they somewhat are interested, if they ask you 3 questions on your date, that's... I think that the bar is just set very way lower for men than women.
And have you been on a date where a guy doesn't ask you any questions about
yourself? Of course, yeah.
And what did you think about that? I mean...
It's, you know, I have, like, some different ways to deal with it. I've dealt with it before by, like, consciously, like maybe dissociating and doing a character study. I went out with this one guy.
Leaving my body and going to the astral plane.
Yeah.
One guy.
I get out of there quick, man. Yeah, he was totally high, the whole time, and... You know how, like, someone who's really high, like, they sometimes think that you're totally, like, picking up what they're putting down, but they're just, like, off on this, like, crazy tangent. So, and, like, he wouldn't stop talking long enough for me to get the hell out of there. And so I was just like, okay, I'm just gonna, like, just pay attention to their movements, pay attention, like, try and hear if there are any phrases that I can use in writing. And I still want to use that guy as a character. He was hilarious.
I was also in the past month on a date, and this woman asked no questions about any part of my life for the entire whatever dinner or drinks or whatever we did. And kind of halfway through, I was like, okay, what's going to happen? Is she going to ask? Well, I just got curious, like, oh my God.
Right.
Where are you?
Yeah.
That, you know, you don't even notice that I'm not with you right,
right
now.
Yeah.
Like, can you see the look in my eyes? I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
She didn't pick it up for whatever reason. So, obviously, I didn't call her again.
Right. Yeah, you kind of have to... I mean, when you're in a situation like that, you're, like, trying to figure out, like, okay... This is a wash for, like, what I came here for, which was, like, to actually go on a date and meet someone. And then you have to think, you know, it sounds kind of selfish, but it's like, okay, well, how else can I make this worth my while that I'm here? And I have a friend who, he says that he just goes, I gotta go, like, after 5 minutes.
Could have done that, but, you know.
Anyway. Yeah.
I was curious, like, really, is she gonna get to all the way to the other end? As the thing was, maybe the check was coming, I was like, oh God, she's running out of time. Like, is she going to just stay on this track the entire time?
Yeah, and then it's really sad, like, when you can't, like, sometimes I'll try and, like, just, like, steer the conversation with some questions, like, to where maybe I can just, like, learn something about maybe their profession or something interesting, a fun fact.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. So why are you here? What do you want to do here in Los Angeles? People don't come here by accident. Right.
Yeah. I want to write and direct feature films.
Okay.
And that's why I'm here.
And in Austin, you were doing what?
I was writing and directing shorts. I was also producing reality documentary, stuff like that.
I didn't see that for yourself or somebody else?
Okay. Yeah, that was more professionally my stuff. Obviously, if you've seen it, you know it's very unprofessional.
Look, you're making things, you're putting it out there, right? You had that Kickstarter thing, you're like, look, every episode's $1,300. That's cheap.
Yeah.
It's nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
To produce something. Mm-hmm. And what about the documentaries? What kind, any in a certain genre or just all kinds of things?
All kinds of things. I'm actually working on directing a documentary right now about a group of people, homeless people that live on this island on the beach. And it's kind of like that movie, The Beach, but in real life and way more crazy.
I don't know that movie, The Beach.
Oh, it has Leonardo DiCaprio. Yeah, it's kind of like about like a hippie commune that lives on a beach.
With Leonardo DiCaprio?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, I do not want to see that.
Yeah, it was kind of bad.
I want to see that. I can't deal with that. Tell us some things about Austin, Texas. You're leaving Austin.
Yeah.
Because it sucks or because we're better?
I don't know. I mean, part of the reason that I left is Austin's great, but it does also kind of suck.
Tell me what sucks. I've heard only good things about Austin. You know, because from the perspective of a Californian, you know, it's like the one place in Texas that you would be willing to visit.
Yes, yeah.
So everyone here has great things to say about Austin, but I'm curious, what sucks about Austin?
What sucks about Austin? Yeah. I think it sucks, maybe there isn't a lot of opportunity, especially in film now, that they cut, you know, the Texas legislature cut all of the incentives. Most of the incentives, they're working on the last remaining percentages. So I think film has been drying up there. It's a much smaller community. Another thing that one of the main reasons that I moved here is, like, I, you know, have, like, visions and goals for my future.
Oh, that sounds horrible.
And it's, you know, I had to, like, seek out communities that did have that, but for the most part, I did not. I don't think that a lot of people in Austin do have that. I mean, it's really nice to have a nice life there, and it's pretty easygoing. But like, if you have something specific, especially if it's creative, you know, I met like a lot of visual artists and everything, and we could kind of like talk about that. But pretty much most other people, it's just like this weird thing that I did. I don't know if you felt that in San Francisco, or maybe there's like this like tech goals.
I did kind of feel in San Francisco. I had a lot of creative friends. But I kind of like what you're saying. There's no entertainment industry in San Francisco.
Right.
And if you have aspirations to work at a higher level, you can't stay there. You know, so you have to come here.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
All right, well, that's all true, but that's not what sucks about Austin. I mean,
I don't know.
Feel free to go out of bounds, is what I'm telling you.
I was talking with a friend.
Anybody.
And she just said, this was like a little bit before I moved. And she was just like, this place is cashed, man. I gotta leave. And I think a lot of people, I'm from Austin.
This place is what?
Cashed. It's like
cashed. This, like a check is cashed and it's no longer valuable.
Yeah, exactly.
I never heard that phrase. That's a good. Is that a Texas thing, Austin thing?
Yeah, I think so. I've actually heard it. Yeah, it's. I think it's mostly like drug reference.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm gonna do more drugs or buy more drugs. So this
I've
place.
I've like mentioned drugs twice already, and I'm not like a
this
drug.
Place is. But I'm really high, and I only remember one of them. So.
Okay.
This place is cached. Can you say this person is cached or this sandwich?
Yeah,
is
Yeah, it's
How
just
can
like
you
it's
it?
Done.
Okay.
It's done. I got to get out of here, and I just was having that feeling, and you know, then I was like, oh, I guess I can. And, you know, Austin is also very white, and I'm very white, that's okay, but it's just, like, kind of, it's one thing. It's, like, white and hipster. Maybe white and hipster slash country, but that's basically it.
Well, those are three pretty unpopular things.
White, maybe.
Hipster, country, country also. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. I don't have anything against white country hipsters, but...
No, let's have something against it.
Okay.
Just for fun.
It's really entitled. I do kind of actually hate them, so...
Entitled, like, lattes and things you have to, you know, get upset if your coffee isn't right or...
Yeah.
The head is too big on your macchiato or something or...
Yeah, there's just not a lot of, like, different stuff going on.
Okay. All right.
And that's what I really have enjoyed about L.A. so far is, like, you can hear... Every day I hear five different languages, and half of them I've never... You know, I can't really, like, decipher. I don't know what they are.
All right.
So,
yeah. We're going to just say Austin, Texas. Best part of Texas.
Yeah.
For somebody from California, you know.
Yeah.
Great place to visit, hang out, go to a festival.
Retire.
Retire. but otherwise, totally sucks, and we're glad you're here in California. All right, we're going to move on. Now, this name, Wanna Be Good, you're not born with this name.
Right.
You were born with the name Juanita Butler.
Yes.
Or not born with it, but it was given to you shortly after you were born.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And so when, how, why did you change this name? Is it an alter ego, or are there things that Wanna Be Good can do that Juanita Butler is just unable to do, kind of like Clark Kent and Superman?
Maybe, although, you know, I have kind of like mixed up my actual name with Wanna Be Good, which I shouldn't have, because I do like to say a lot of offensive things on my channel. And I kind of would prefer that people, if they were Googling Juanita Butler, didn't find all of my creative work, because I talk a lot about, like, sexual harassment and stuff like that, which is still...
Is your YouTube channel?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to give people the address for that?
Yes.
Or some way to find it?
You can find it at www.wannabegood.com. That's JUANIBEGOOD.
.com.
And, yeah.
Yeah, you got it.
And so, I mean, actually, I'm the only Wanna Be Good, I think, on the internet. So that's why I chose it. Basically, I had it as a Facebook name, so I'm, like, very private person. So I had that as my Facebook name, so people that I knew from elementary school wouldn't friend me on there. I had
Would
one.
Not friend you.
Yeah.
See,
I'm very private, but I'm very polite as well.
Some of these old simmering resentments. So elementary school, you hate those assholes. That was a disaster.
Yeah, basically at any point in my life from 5 years before, I hate all those assholes.
You never want to hear from those elementary school first graders.
All of the assholes. Yeah, right on up to, you know, mid to late 20s.
So... Because you're a nice person and, like you said, a polite person and a little bit shy and a little bit quiet, I'm just going to be the opposite of all those things to help you out.
Oh, okay.
And so here's what I heard. You have some conflict. You said, look, I say these offensive things in my work and I don't want people who know me personally. What is that? What, you got this split.
I do.
How offensive can you be? And who are the people that you don't want to find you and associate your offensive statements? I'm going to dig into what you mean by offensive in a minute. Who is it that you don't want to know you are saying these things about, making comedy about sexual harassment and boner blockers and things like that? I mean,
yeah.
Who are you trying to protect yourself against by using a nom de comedy?
Well, one, like applying for jobs, you know, and what I do production. Okay. So I don't know. I feel like just in that kind of like blank slate, I want to be able to project myself as someone who's totally normal and boring, which is like absolutely not.
Do not do that. Do not do that. There's no path to success by
right.
being totally normal.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
I'm going to give you advice. You don't have to take it because we just met.
I keep getting this advice here.
Arguably, you know, who the hell am I? So.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing in normal.
Okay, well, so.
There's no upside except that people don't beat on you. I mean, the only upside to being normal and,
right,
and
you
in
don't
the
get
box
death threats.
Is safety.
Yeah.
That's all you get.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're a creative person.
Right.
If somebody wants to hire you as a producer or a production person and they are upset that you're making jokes about sexual harassment or guys being creeps,
yeah.
They're in the wrong business. You don't want to be
true.
Working for them.
Yeah. I'm getting that a lot more actually here.
Fuse these parts
of
yourself.
Parts of myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because if you let them know that this is your stuff and you're also doing this, they're going to see that you're professional, you're organized, you're driven, you know, you're out there making stuff is way more important than appearing to be uncontroversial.
Interesting. And I do actually think that, I mean, I've heard this several times just in the short amount of time that I've been here.
Yeah.
And I think that this actually is something about California as well. I'm very liberal, like politically. I have a video where I destroyed Trump with my vagina. That might be in one of the more offensive ones.
Shooting lasers.
Yeah,
it's
shooting
not
lasers.
Technically
yeah.
with your vagina.
I mean, it's using my vagina.
Yeah, but it's not like
the lasers
your
that come.
Vag like swallowed him up.
Yeah.
No, it's just shooting no. stuff.
Yeah, okay. I shoot him.
Just for clarity.
I blast him with my pussy power. That's
pussy
the name
power
of the...
blasting. Yeah, yeah.
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 You know, and I feel like in Texas, you know, you meet people and you really have no idea. You know, they are quite possibly Trump supporters.
Sure.
And so you kind of have to keep it under wraps. Whereas I feel like it's the opposite here, which is really nice for me. And I think that that's another motivating factor of why I left. You know, we kind of have to really go for it, I think, now.
What's under all this stuff is a kind of fear that if you say something wrong or you're too big or you're too black or too strong, that someone's going to whack you with a stick.
Totally.
Okay. Regardless
yeah.
of where you live, as an individual person, you got to, for me, you got to decide whether you're going to duck or get whacked and say, fuck it.
Yeah.
So
this is nice.
That's my challenge for you.
Okay.
And I don't care where you're living. I mean, you know, there are some practical considerations depending on where you are.
Okay.
But, you know.
Well, nice.
If you have a vision, you're not going to duck. And if you're a person who ducks, you don't have a vision that you're going to do anything with. I just don't think that, like, saying I have a vision and ducking all the time are
definitely
are
diffuses
compatible.
The energy.
Yeah,
it's not compatible.
They don't fit in the same pocket.
It's one of the many you know, non-compatible things that I find myself running up against as I'm doing this project of making my work.
All right. Well, here you are. Thank you.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Thank you
I'm
for
just
this
giving
coaching
you a, I'm
session.
I'm just stirring things up because we just met. And you come here and you say, look, I got stuff to do in L.A.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm just
giving
you my
And I'm really
opinion.
Scared to be seen.
You got two names so that people don't get offended, you know.
Well, you know what? Another reason that I actually find myself, like, my pulse goes up a little bit when you say my name, Juanita Butler, is that I don't want to get stalked. And that you have to, I mean, I have been before.
Stalked?
Yes. People will find your phone number online. Immediately, like, erase the super negative ones because I feel like I don't want other women to see that.
So when you say stalked, what are we talking? Like, people don't like your work, or they...
Yeah, like these kind of like men's rights activists, definitely. Sometimes I do wonder if I will get killed. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can't make fun of you for that. I mean, if you...
Yeah, and I have had people get my number. I mean, I've been phone stalked before, you know, where you have to call the police and...
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I think.
Is it coming from Texas, or is it coming from someplace else? Maybe you can't tell.
Maybe I can't tell. I actually had a Google number, and I would get phone calls from that.
And what did people say?
Well, you know, I don't know. They never really left a message. One person, I have no idea how... The one that I actually did have to call the police was... someone who I have no idea how he got my phone number, but you just for a period of time he would call me all the time and hang up.
Call and hang up.
Yeah, and then when I looked him up, he was like an ex inmate or something. This happens all the
time.
Didn't
say anything.
Right.
So you don't know why. What this was. It could have been about your work. Could have been he just saw you and fell in love with you instantly.
Actually, I think this was actually before I was making work. So that is something different than when I did. Yeah, and I think this is all was happening in Texas.
Yeah. Well, it could come from
anywhere.
But
it could come from anywhere.
Yeah. And it's a concern. See, I'm a guy. I never worry like, oh gosh, somebody's going to stalk me. And I can't totally relate. So.
Right. Yeah, and I don't know.
I don't have to think about that. That's my privilege, right? It's not in the back of my mind.
Right. Yeah, and I think it's possible. I mean, I do feel like it's this, maybe it's just a me thing, but I feel like it quite possibly is a woman thing of just like being seen. You see what happens to them.
Yeah.
Lindy West, I think, is off Twitter. She's a feminist writer. You know, just from all of the insane death and rape threats that they get. And so maybe that's just, I mean, because I also desire security.
Yeah, it's good.
And to continue. So maybe I'm being a little bit paranoid in there, but you see that and you go, well, that's what happens when a woman speaks her mind, especially in like a feminist way.
Well, and I was talking a few minutes ago about not ducking and being willing to be out there and see.
Yeah.
And now you're saying, yeah. And sometimes that comes with death threats, rape threats. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. And I do not have a giant viewership, but even just my very small, limited viewership, I have gotten, I don't think I've gotten death threats, but it's definitely a lot of very angry men saying, shut the fuck up, you stupid bitch. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Well, I'm on behalf of men in general, I'm sorry that that happens.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Well, I did want to ask a couple of questions about things that you have done. One of the things I saw you write recently is you were complaining that sexism is boring.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, tell me about that.
It was just something that I said to a friend. I find it very exhausting and boring. I've seen it so many times, especially in entertainment, and I can say that this is true for all of the isms. I think there's nothing delightful about a story where the woman is just like kind of like the foil. There's nothing new or interesting about like some nerdy guy who gets the supermodel. It's kind of just like, it's just like you missed an opportunity to be interesting. A lot of it is just casting. Like, I felt like, as an example,
yes,
The Martian. I know that the story was a book before or whatever, and it was about a white guy who saves humanity, of course. But as I was watching it, I was just thinking, you know, this movie would be 10 times more interesting if Donald Glover's character was that guy or Kristen Wiig. Like, if either one of them play, I mean, that would just make that that movie 10 times more interesting, correct? Like, just yeah. to, we haven't really seen it, and yeah. it's simple, and it just becomes more interesting.
Same
like,
script.
You know, so I can't remember exactly, like, the exact context of when I said that it was so boring, but yeah, I'm just bored.
You had another thing recently. You were asking, who will teach white men empathy?
Yes. Yeah. Some people didn't really like that, but
some people didn't like that.
Yeah.
What kind of response did you get? That doesn't seem very offensive to me, but maybe it is for some people.
Someone's just today. Someone was like, "Not you, you sexist racist." Yeah, I think
that comment is totally confusing.
There is a giant, like, now that I'm on Twitter,
yeah,
and Trump is president, like, I can see, because there is a giant group of people in America who feel like feminism is, like, the worst problem facing our country, and racism against white people is the other worst problem.
But when you ask a question, who will teach white men empathy, and you get a response that says, "Not you, you racist, sexist, whatever."
Yeah.
I mean, it's so clear that the person writing that is the person that needs to wake up a little.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
And why wouldn't it be you? I mean, can anybody teach that guy empathy? Because
I don't think so. I blocked his ass. That's what
well,
I
yeah,
do.
Sure. Just, anyway, it just didn't make any sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's something that I was thinking. I think that in order to have empathy, and someone else actually, a lot more people were like, "Yeah, I'm wondering this too," responded with that. And I should say that a lot more people respond in a positive way, or they don't respond at all to my work, than the negative
sure, okay.
comments that I get. But I'm also keep myself kind of in a bubble. But anyways,
no longer, because now you moved to LA.
Yeah, now I'm in LA. I'm
the job
out.
Of LA is to be seen.
I want the world to see. I know.
That's
I
the
hate
job
being seen.
Well, then you're going to have to deal
performing.
With it, or you're going to fail miserably and go home. But one, I mean, that's why you come here.
Yeah,
you come here to be seen and to have more people see you.
Yeah,
and people that don't know you.
Yeah,
that's the
goal. That's definitely what I want.
For people to say, "Who the hell is this Juanita Butler? I keep hearing about her." Or, "I saw this woman. Who the hell is this? Get me her."
Yeah, you're right.
So.
I like it.
That's just a personal challenge for you.
Yeah, I accept the challenge.
All right, well.
I'm here to be seen, so.
That's up to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, but
yes.
Someone who said, yeah, someone responded that, you have to have, you have to experience suffering, and I don't think in our culture, I think that you kind of have to, like, use your own experience of being hurt for something that you don't have any control over as, like, a jumping off point to see how other people who maybe don't share, you know, the like, you don't share those same characteristics. You know, I'm able-bodied as an example. I'm white as an example. I can't understand the different way that someone different than myself can be treated in society, but I understand the hurt that I feel when, you know, my kind of, like, difference is...
Well, we were just talking, if I'm walking on the street, there are no construction workers shouting, like, "Hey, baby," you know... Show
yeah.
us your tits or smile. Why don't you smile? So I don't really, I know that happens,
yeah.
but I don't really get what that feels like.
Yeah, exactly. And so I feel like women more and more are saying, "Hey, look, this happens." Like, and it's fucked up. And we're kind of just realizing, like, wait, that stuff that's been happening my whole life is, like, fucked up. And we should talk about it. And I feel like we're kind of, like, teaching many men that aren't doing this, like, just to see it and to understand that it happens. And it's very slow, but then it's like, oh, okay. But I think if you don't have some way that you've been hurt for something that's out of your control like that, then how can you, I don't know. I don't know
how you empathize with somebody
else.
Yeah,
how do you empathize?
So logically speaking, then, that leads to the conclusion that what white men in America need now is to be hurt and to suffer some things so that they will empathize with other people who have also been hurt and suffered some things, and that will ultimately help them. So we should hurt white men. That's what I'm getting out of these comments. Bash them, beat them up, you know, wait outside of a bar, white motherfucker, you know, straight white guy. It's going to help them. It'll build their sensitivity.
No.
Experiencing injustice, experiencing harm that they're not in control of. And then you can say, yeah, well, this is what it's like to be one of those other people.
Well, look, I'm obviously not, or maybe it's not obvious that I'm not in favor of beating up white men. But I think it's also just in their interest. It's in everyone's interest for there to be more empathy going around. But I feel like, you know, what I want for white men is for them to be more vulnerable. And I think that that can also increase it. So, and I think that it actually, like, their this position that they've been put in society is actually weakens them, because they don't often have to be vulnerable. They're not forced to be vulnerable. So I think that a lot of men, that's why, like, when some, and this is not something that a lot of men do, but I think that that's why it gets to a place where, like, that guy here in California who, like, was a nice guy and no girls would fuck him, that's, and he killed them, because it's just like some, like, they can't handle any rejection, right? Because they're used to getting it. And I think that they really do not put themselves out there with what they want. They're selling themselves short a lot, because they're now scared of that feeling of vulnerability.
Yeah, well, you said the position that men have been put in weakens them. What is that position to you?
It's power without power. It's Trump. I think he's very weak. Like, he flies off the handle the minute that he doesn't get what he wants. That you're not strong. And also,
so it sounds like dominance without power, or control without power, or something. But power without power, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and I feel like I've noticed this even just in my relationships, my closer relationships with men. Like, I think quite often they have a hard time asking for what they want. Just in general. And, you know, I even had an ex say that it was so hard for him. And it was so hard for him to ask for what he wanted. He wanted to be assured that I was going to say yes before he asked. And he actually did request that from me. And I think that
because he was terrified of you saying no.
He's terrified of me saying no. And I, as a woman, have been socialized to be terrified of saying no.
Sounds like a great relationship.
Yeah.
I mean, not yours in particular, but in general. Yeah.
Well, yeah, and I was like, no, that's the thing that you need to work on, and this is the thing that I need to work on. And it's very unhealthy you end up controlling people in that way. Because, and you won't make yourself vulnerable.
But you compensate with control. Control is a way to.
Yes, you're trying to control the outcome.
Get the thing so there's no risk involved. That's what control is there, to mitigate risk. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think that it sells men short, because I think they're not getting what they want, and they're not asking for it.
All right. Well, then this is, see, this is a positive spin, right?
Yeah.
If you have
a
positive spin to what you want for men,
yeah,
it's to allow themselves to be more vulnerable so that we can have better communication, ask for the things we want. We'll get more. We'll have better
yes.
relationships if we can be more vulnerable and less afraid of women and, you know, less controlling. And yeah, it's hard, though.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's what you want. For all the people that blame you for being a man hating something, something, I'm just clarifying that your request here is
right.
very positive and
oh,
very
definitely.
Generous.
I've said it so many times that the patriarchy is very bad for men. So,
if you think it's good for you, you're wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I think there's a lot of sociological, psychological research that would support your
definitely.
Thesis. Absolutely. I mean, it's out there. I know
yeah,
it is.
Yeah,
yeah. There are books written about it.
Yeah, and also empathy is, I just read an article that empathy is becoming very important in the workplace, right? Like,
I would imagine.
It's
why?
One of the characteristics to become successful. More women are going to college, you know, and this is a trait that women have, and I can see that, yeah, men do need to develop this for themselves
yeah.
as well.
Yeah. I'm not sure if there's a book called Reviving Ophelia. Are you familiar
mm-hmm.
with this book?
I've heard of it, but I haven't read it.
It's really good. It's basically a bunch of case studies about adolescent women, girls,
right.
and the effect that this kind of relationship of having such separate boxes for genders,
mm-hmm.
the effect of that on the development of young women, right? And their self-image and their body image and all this kind of stuff. And it's tragic.
It is.
There's the opposite story, which has also been written about the same thing, right? About the cost on boys and young men of not being able to be in touch with their feelings, talk about
mm-hmm.
what's happening for them, ask for what they want, you know, because they don't get, they get beat up, or there's
yeah.
negative reinforcements for being open, vulnerable, sensitive, connected for boys, and we suffer by
yeah.
being isolated in that way.
Yeah, it's a needless box.
So it's out there. It's out there. I'm going to change things up.
Okay.
How old were you when you first ran away from home?
When I first ran away from home, I think I was like 7. I ran around the corner.
Do you remember why you ran away from home?
I was in an argument with my parents. And I was like, oh, I could just go out my window.
Did
and I did. I ran around the corner for like probably about 15 minutes and then came back home. Yeah.
Did they notice that you were gone?
Yeah, I got in trouble.
So do you consider this a successful running away, a not successful run away? I mean, it could have still achieved your goals.
I don't know that there's ever a successful runaway. I don't think that that's a successful...
Some people would say Thelma and Louise was a successful running away. I mean, they
for
did
children.
Drive off the cliff.
For children.
At the end,
it's never... Yes, there's a successful running away. If you're in an abusive relationship, get the fuck out of there. And that's success. But for children, it's never successful. I mean, there are kids on the street. I was never on the street, thankfully. But, like, that's not a success. And it's also often, in many cases, and this was not my case either, that it's not a success if they are in their, you know, homes. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I just thought, you know, maybe your parents were so worried that you crushed their spirit and brought them to their knees, and then they capitulated to all of their demands.
I don't think that that would have been successful either. I think that that's like something that's successful in a child's eye, but not... I don't know. Maybe. Yeah. Maybe.
That's what I have, a child's eye. Come on, work with me here.
Actually, I do like that. I just changed my mind as I said that. So, yeah. It
See?
Was not successful. No.
Immaturity wins out. All right. So, it wasn't successful. Is your first failure? Was that your first failure, running away from home? Did you take it very hard?
No.
Did it scar you for life? Come on, this is a comedy show. Reveal something.
Some failure? Like my first failure?
All right, we're going to ask another story, another question. You have a somewhat quirky sleeping or bedtime ritual? You have a somewhat quirky bedtime or sleeping ritual. What is it?
I just do, like, a lot of stuff before I go to bed. Like wash my face.
A lot of drugs? Oh, a lot of things. Activities. Yeah. Okay.
Flossing every night. I'm got into water picking when I had braces. And,
soon to be an Olympic sport, water picking.
Yeah, yeah. And, yeah, I'm just... It takes too long for me to get ready for bed. But that's my obsessive nighttime ritual.
All right, well, I'm going to consider that a totally failed question because you don't have any quirky something.
Quirky things.
Really, nothing? Something you can tell us that would embarrass you?
Yeah, I have a lot of those, but it doesn't have to do with nighttime routines.
No. Well, tell us one anyway, because I always like those.
An embarrassing story?
I don't know. Yeah.
Something that would embarrass me?
Yeah.
Let's see.
Something recent. Were you mean to somebody and then regretted it later?
Yeah, of course.
No, that's not doing it. Couldn't make it to the public restroom? You were in the car? No, that's not it. I'm looking at your face to see if anything lights you up. Yelled at an old person. Stole something from the grocery store. Didn't use conditioner last time you washed your hair.
You know, it's Cadbury egg season.
Yes.
And I've been eating a lot of them. Too many.
A lot of Cadbury eggs. This is the most embarrassing thing that you can...
Well, it's off the top of my head. I mean...
You really suck at this. You really suck at making yourself vulnerable and, you know, like, showing your sensitive underbelly to a total stranger here in Los Angeles where you're trying to stay hidden. You're bad. You're bad at it.
Good. Jeez, Denzel.
On strategy. Okay. Here's another question. I think that all people have a superpower.
Okay.
And by that I mean some quality or talent that just wants to come through you. Not because you're clever or worked at it, but just you channel this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what that is for you? Do you have something like that?
I've actually recently been asking some people about this. One thing I've gotten... What? Well, I mean... I did another podcast, and I listened to it, and I was like, oh, that's what my personality is, because I see a lot of stuff that I make, that I've written. It's not really my personality. I edit what I make, for the most part, and so I see myself. I'm used to hearing my voice and everything. That's not embarrassing, but, like, I'll probably, if and when I listen to this, be very embarrassed, because my personality, And I was like, oh.
So wait, let me just ask for clarification. So you write / produce, direct, and star in some things, videos, short comedic sketches that you put on but you don't feel that that's you? Somehow.
No, it is. I mean, I put my fears and my fantasies and, it is me, but it's written and it's not just, there's a layer behind it, and then I have the additional layer of security that I'm, like, making jokes in it as well.
Okay.
So, yeah, when it's just me, it's kind of intense.
What do you mean?
I think it's just, like, what I had the thought, I was like, oh, I guess I've been overestimating my personality all these years. Like, I judged it. I was like, oh, I don't like my personality. Like, someone would say, oh, I don't like my voice when I just hear it. You know, I was a little bit surprised by it. And I was like, oh. That's kind of embarrassing.
So in that moment when you said, yeah, it's kind of intense... I'm not sure what the it was. I have pronoun problems, so it's kind of intense. What gets intense for you?
I think just seeing myself and judging myself is intense. judging my personality, like, oh, I'm, and I don't even know what I'm judging it. You know, I'm just like, ugh. And if you ask me, I can't really say. It's, you know, it's just that kind of dark thing that's like, there's something wrong with you.
So is what you are experiencing and trying to express, is it that you watch your stuff and you just feel like, you feel kind of like, ew, on some level?
No, what, not I mean, with, I feel very, well, I mean, when you do create the stuff, yeah, there are like many different stages that you go through. When I'm writing, often I'm laughing and I'm really enjoying it. And then I'm rewriting and I'm like, this totally sucks. And then I shoot it and I'm like, I don't know why I'm shooting this. This sucks. And then I'm editing it and I'm going, actually, this is amazing. And then I'm like, oh my God, this sucks so much. Oh, I can't look at it anymore. And then, so I just try and, I just like say, oh, okay, that's going to happen.
In that regard, I think a lot of creative people do that.
Yeah.
And I think you're going to fit in fine in Los Angeles with that kind of attitude.
Yeah,
like
you kind of
like, all like, ah, I'm great. Oh, I suck. Oh, I'm great. Oh, I suck.
Yeah, it's like that. It's like that quite a lot.
Now, the question that stimulated that conversation was about your superpower, and I don't think you actually
right.
answered the question. Do you, maybe you don't have an answer for that question.
I'm not sure. I think I'm still figuring out what my superpower is. Like, taking the things that I feel insecure about and staying with them. And that's actually what I want to do in my work. You know, a lot of it is about gender and harassment, and it's not just a total downer, but it's the things that I find really push my buttons, make me very insecure, which I think there are quite a lot of those, and just that I feel like I can say, like, stay with those things. And I hope that, like, as I can stay with them and show other people them, they, and some people have told me, like, that it helped them to realize they're not just these freaks. I think we're all constantly running around, you know, just being so damn embarrassed of ourselves all the time.
Okay. That makes sense to me, that you're going to work with things that freak you out a little bit,
mm-hmm,
and stick with it, I think is a great phrase. You're going to write and make things and put them out in the world.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, you have this desire to remain safe and invisible.
Yeah.
So these things obviously totally collide. I mean, they totally disagree with each other. But, you know, that's what creates heat.
Yeah.
You know, that's what... So, yeah,
and
you're
I think, like,
it out.
Even that discomfort, like, that's another thing. I'm very uncomfortable. I'm not courageous. But I still do see that I'm able to stay with that, too. Like, yeah, I'm uncomfortable. I don't want to be seen. I am freaked out and scared by the threatening messages I get. But I'm still doing it. I'm still here, if you'll notice.
Persist.
I'm still here.
Persist.
Yeah, I'm still doing it. And the biggest obstacle, I think, is my own desire to be like, oh, don't fucking look at me.
Yeah. All right, yeah. Well, go for it, yeah. No, I think that's great. I think congratulations for taking all that on.
Thank you. Feels fucking insane half the time.
If you've been listening to the show, which you say you have,
yes,
not a test, don't worry. You know that I have this question about being hit in the face with a pie.
Oh,
you
yeah,
know that
yeah.
Have you heard that?
Who would you hit in the face with a pie? Or?
No, it's the opposite. So the thing is this. 20 years ago, I told some friends and family that it's always okay to hit me in the face with a pie. Anytime they want. They don't have to tell me. Boom. And what's great about it is that usually a pie is thrown with, like, some kind of malice or anger, and it's received, you know, with,
yeah, like, oh my God,
don't hit me. But I'm changing that. I'm going to give you permission to do it, because it makes you happy. And so when you throw this pie at me, say, for example, I'm going to receive it with love and gratitude, because I said it's okay.
And are you going to, like, laugh at the good joke?
I'm going to enjoy... That's my job, is to say it's okay, and you're going to do it, and it's going to be good. It's all going to be good.
Okay.
So you're going to do the thing that I'm talking about. You're going to receive a pie from someone.
Okay.
They're going to throw it with love and generosity, and you're going to receive it with love and generosity because you're all on the same page. Who would you like to throw that pie at you?
I think Pina Bausch.
Pina Bausch?
Yeah.
Okay. Tell us, how is that going to be for you and Pina?
I just would really like to get a pie in the face from Pina Bausch.
Well, and who, for people who don't know, who is she and what would make that special for you?
Well, she's this amazing choreographer, dancer. A lot of modern dance, I feel like, is kind of coming from her. But, you know, she's also in a lineage. I just don't happen to know who she's coming from. But she's a visionary, so yeah. She definitely, like, changed the game. She's very graceful and delicate, and I just feel like I would want, like, a transmission from her, you know? Like, her... I would want to receive... She's very powerful. Mm-hmm. And, so I would want to... I definitely want to receive whatever she had to give in that pie.
So you're going to receive from her, and the medium is going to come via
from the pie. And I'm going to have some, it's like her power just is constantly emanating from her. So like, it's going to be a little concentrated.
Focused.
Her artistic power as well.
Like a beam, like a bat signal.
Yeah, and it's like,
in the pie.
Who knows what was in that pie, but like, forever after, I'm going to be like, yeah, it might just be like my Dumbo feather. I got that thing from Pina.
The Dumbo feather.
Yeah,
I remember he's got that little, in the movie Dumbo, right?
It could just be like psychological, something that I would hold on to. I got that pie from Pina, and I received a transmission from her.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Pina Bausch.
Yeah.
She's still alive, right?
No, she passed away.
She died.
Okay. Yeah, her dance troupe. It's actually on my bucket list to see her her dancers who are still performing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Pina Bausch. Humorless German avant-garde dancer is going to hit you in the face with the pie. And you're going to receive that transmission.
She's not humorless.
No, she's not humorless. It's the German part.
The German part, yes.
But she's not humorless anyway.
Yeah.
That's okay. Well, nobody has answered Pina Bausch so far, aside from me. All right, there's one last thing I like to do on this show is anagram some stuff.
Okay.
To see what happens, right?
Okay.
Anagrams, you just take the letters of some word or phrase and you rearrange them and it spells other things. And
sometimes, this is not the part that I'm good at. Okay, yeah.
Well, you don't have to be good because I've already done it.
Oh, okay.
So, but the question is, do any of these things kind of ring a bell for you? So, if I anagram Wani Be Good, one of the things that it anagrams to is Begonia Judo.
Hmm.
And I've wondered if you have ever had any kind of outsmarting plants with martial arts acumen.
No, but I kind of feel like that's a little bit what we've been talking about. Like, is Judo the one where like you kind of like use the other person's force or something?
Somewhat. I think Aikido is much more that.
Okay.
But Judo is also a kind of grappling.
Martial arts.
Yeah. It's not punching so much as a grappling and flipping thing.
Yeah. Flower martial arts. That's, you know, kind of like the vulnerable strength, I think.
Ah, okay. That's a nice... I didn't get to that, but that... Yeah, I don't... yeah, that's one. Begonia Judo. Here's one for Austin, Texas. Anagrams to A Tuna Exists. Do they have any tuna in Texas?
What is this thing that I'm thinking of? A Tuna Christmas? Is that like a national thing or is that a Texas thing?
I've never heard of a Tuna Christmas.
Maybe it's even just a my head thing, but that's...
You mean maybe it's not everybody in Texas? Maybe it's just me and I just think it's everybody in Texas? A Tuna Christmas.
Oh, I don't know. There's a lot of, like, political satire in Austin. There's a really great variety show called Esther's Follies, which you should definitely go to next time you're in Austin.
It's going to be next week.
Actually. Awesome. Yeah. Yeah, go to Esther's Follies. They're amazing. They've been going forever. And, Yeah, there's just a lot of great political satire there, and okay. I feel like a tuna Christmas.
Tuna exists. Maybe something happened there. Austin, Texas also anagrams to a sexist ant.
A sexist ant.
A-U-N-T.
That's interesting.
You know, again, any of these ring a bell, you're like, oh, yeah, I know that guy. You know, that's, yeah.
I feel like all ants are sexist. We're all sexist.
How can all ants be sexist?
Because we grew up in a sexist culture.
Our uncle's sexist? So everyone's sexist, didn't you?
I think so.
Everyone's got some
kind of prejudice. I see it in myself, yeah.
Like, everybody's a little racist, everybody's a little sexist.
Exactly. Yeah, and it's very naive for us to think that we're not. We're better than the last generation. And I think we can see that, you know. I mean, I see women of the last generation putting up with a lot more shit than what I would put up with. Yeah. And I see women of the next generation putting up with a lot less shit than what I would put up with.
So the trend line is good.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. But a sexist ant, you're not like, yes, that's it.
Well, yeah, but that's what I was saying. Like, I think, all are. Okay. We all are, and we should admit that.
Okay, so we should admit that...
That we're sexist, that we're racist, we grew up in that culture. It's very naive for us to think that we don't have that.
The last one is, I anagrammed the new kid, because that's you.
Oh, yeah.
You're the new kid in town.
I am.
And interestingly, it anagrams to think weed.
Whoa, full circle.
I don't know what the thing is about weed in Austin, but here in California, if you haven't received some already, there's a government program that just, when you move to California, they just send you weed.
Yeah. I know, I'm smelling it all over on the street. You can always hear a different language and smell weed.
Yeah, that's right.
I like it. I like both of those things.
Okay, so the new kid, think weed. That one seems like right on.
Yeah.
Descriptive of your...
Yeah, and I was like thinking about weed a lot today, which is not something that I usually do, but so maybe...
Well, maybe you knew you were coming here to see me and you were like, oh my God, who is this guy? What is he going to say? Maybe I should be really high when I deal
with him. Just... preemptively high, yeah.
And then you could not ask me any questions about my life and just go on and on.
I know, I'm sorry, I'm so rude. I haven't even been asking you about your...
Well, you fucked up because now the show is over and you lost your opportunity. I would like to thank...
I can just see the look in your eyes.
Very special guest, writer, director, actor, risk taker, and lady that does not ask any questions, Wanna Be Good. Thanks for coming in this
week. Thank you.
If you would like to buy a Comedy Death Star coffee mug... Email me at comedydeathstar@acsdigital.tv. No one has written asking for one of these. I have to put a photo of it on the website.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, people
They're about 20 bucks. You know, you got to get them custom printed, and then they
ship
them over. Anyway, if you'd like one, anyone, listening audience.
It's really nice.
It's nice.
It's a nice looking mug.
And I think that you should get one before... The Lucasfilm Star Wars people send me a cease and desist letter to stop using this image and name.
Yeah.
You should do it now.
Yeah.
Dylan Vigil is our producer and engineer. You haven't met him yet, but he's a nice guy. Our theme music was written and performed by Dean Mermel, also a nice guy who you don't know. You've been listening to Comedy Death Star, the official podcast of Actors Comedy Studio, right here in Hollywood, USA. I'm your host, Denzel Myers. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week. You're going to Austin, Texas, and you're going to be back next week.
Yep.
With more stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, look me up.
Okay. Well,
Wanna Be Good on all the social and internet.
Good.
I'm the only Wanna Be Good on the internet.
The only Wanna Be Good. And spell it one more time.
J-U-A-N-I-B-E-G-O-O-D.
I'm going to put it in the stuff, in the text, in the thing you promoted Facebook. So
I appreciate it.
Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.